Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now, there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell now for 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A pretty good Houston basketball weekend, right up until, well, Saturday night when the when the Rockets laid an egg against the Jazz, didn't play very well, but handled business against Minnesota. Man, these back to backs, it's just been, it's crazy how many back to backs. And there is a stat out there about the Rockets, you know, not having any rest and how it's affected them. It's just crazy. Crazy how many. This is what, 10 of 11 games have been back-to-backs. That's just crazy. You got to, I mean, the league with this now, I know one of them was because Atlanta, they had the suspended game and they had to make up that game. But otherwise, I mean, it's still stupid. It's just stupid.
And you know, it's funny, we used to have this conversation and the talk was always, well, what's the big deal? Like, you're only playing X amount of minutes of a game. And there's timeouts,
well,
and there's this, that, and the other. It's not the game action. It's the travel. It's the time you get in. You get in at, you know, if it's a night game, you're going to get in at 1-something, 2-something in the morning. It's, yeah, I know they're on jets and all this stuff, but the travel starts to wear you down, and it does have an impact on you. It messes with sleep patterns. It messes with, you know, it can have, I mean, it's just true. If you do a lot of traveling, you definitely know. You don't even have to be told that. I wouldn't say you do a lot of traveling, John, but you do more than probably you do more than the average person right now. And it's like a travel day is a pain in the ass. It's just you get tired doing nothing. You just like, what did I do? I walk around an airport and then I sit and wait and then I'm on a plane. And, you know, it's just that's part of the hassle of the NBA is that, yeah, you grind through, but then your hours are all jacked up and there's a fatigue the next day that sets in.
Yeah, well, no, and it's playing in back-to-back games. I know they're young. This is one of the youngest teams in the NBA and all of that. But it absolutely, yeah, when you play one day in Houston and then you fly to and whatever time you get in after that game, and then you got to play the next night against, yeah, absolutely, it wears on your, it's your legs, your energy, everything. So this has been a rough, we knew it was going to be a rough part of the schedule. They're better than the Jazz, but they got a hand to them by the Jazz. But I think the lead this weekend was the Cougs. I think the lead was how great it was to have game day at Fertitta Center. How they showed up. It was great to see all of the. How much of it did you get to see some of it game day on Saturday morning?
I got a little thing. I took my key. You see this? We only have one car now for the house.
Yeah. I
You see these in my hand? Do you know what these are?
They're keys?
Yeah. What do you think they're to?
The car that you, one car that you have?
Yeah. Who do you think has it downstairs right now? And it was calling me about 3 times in a row on the air.
That would be your wife?
Yeah. Who do you think she has to take to school?
Take
it, Dell. Hit it, Del.
Well, Del, it's me and you. I said it was going to be me, Lance and Dell for the next 3 hours.
I'll be right.
Why are you Hollywood today with the sunglasses anyway?
Oh, these are light sensitive glasses. These are these are going to be a thing from now on.
Okay. So Hollywood has got to go downstairs. He calling me Hollywood Dell, and he's going downstairs with his sunglasses on and just and not being part of the show. So game day Saturday morning was awesome. It was awesome. Reese, Jay Billis, Jay Williams, all of them, to a man. And what's the, I don't know the female. She was on the set. Del, do you know her? Do you know her name? I don't know.
I was not awake, so I don't know any of what you're talking about.
Oh, you didn't see any of it? You didn't see any of it? It was really good. The Cougs did a really, really nice job. I thought the Cougs did a nice job. Fans were awesome. I thought the stadium showed well. They got all kinds of – they had Jim Nance giving hellos. They had Jamal Shedd, Quentin Grimes. They had Marcus Sasser. They had all the NBA guys. Kelvin Sampson came. I thought our interview with Kelvin Sampson on Friday, and if you want to go back and see and listen to that, 9:30 with Kelvin Sampson, I thought our interview with him was better. But Kelvin came up with some good stuff. There was some stuff that we can get to, but we don't have to since we had him on, and we didn't, you know, we didn't have to depend on game day. But I thought it was just awesome. And then the way the Cougs came out, that arena, the way that they played hard. Of course, Iowa State was going to make a run. They made the run, but the Cougs made the plays at the end. It was great, great, great. We've got some sound for it. I don't know if you've had time to get to any of it. I put in Jay Billis. I would like to hear. They said on the broadcast, they said, we've got three teams that we think can win the national championship, and the Cougs are one of those teams. The Cougs are one of those teams. I think it's Auburn, maybe Duke, and Houston, the teams that can win a national championship. And why is this team different? Well, first of all, hopefully it will stay healthy. That's number one. Secondly, they're not dependent, although L.J. Cryer is a bit of constant, game in and game out. L.J. Cryer has been somebody that you got to depend on. He's got to score because you can't – I don't think you can count on Emmanuel Sharp. You can't count on Jaywan. Jaywan is going to be there. Jaywan is going to score for you, and he's going to get big buckets inside. You know, and the rest of the guys are pretty – JoJo has got his, you know, his role – Arsenault and Wilson, all of them, all those guys, they're all role players. LJ's got to score, and Jaywan, they're going to have to take the bulk of the scoring. And hopefully, if Emmanuel Sharp shoots, if he's a sharpshooter, then they're going to be pretty damn good. But Jay Billis, during the broadcast, had this to say about the Cougs and where they are in the national championship scene.
This is the most efficient offense that Houston has had in the last 25 years. They're low turnover. They force a ton of turnovers, so they've got like a +5 turnover margin. They're an excellent offensive rebounding team, so as long as they get a shot every time down, they got a 40% chance of getting a second shot, and those are usually high-percentage shots. But really what you have to deal with in Houston is facing their relentlessness for 40-plus minutes. And it's really difficult to play against them. And you're thinking about how they're coming at you instead of how you can attack them. And that's a big factor. I think this is a national championship quality team. Last year they were Final Four quality. And had Jamal Shedd not gotten injured against Duke with that ankle that put him out of the game in the first half, I think they would have made the Final Four. I think Houston would have been there last year.
I agree. But it's not the first time, Sasser and Tremont Mark get hurt. I mean, it's been year after year after year that they have a major injury. JoJo Tugler last year as well was another injury that they suffered that killed them. If this team can stay healthy, this team is good enough. It's just good enough. Iowa State is a very, very good team. And, boy, did they throttle them early on. That was fun. Iowa State got some points in the second half, made it a game, came back. But the Cougs played their game and they won at the end. And then LJ Cryer, and I don't know that he gets enough love here. I'm not sure that LJ Cryer. LJ came over from Baylor, a transfer here, and he has been fantastic for this team. During the game, LJ is going off and having a great game. And Trey Young tweeted this. He said, LJ Cryer in his give me the ball and get out of the way bag right now, with exclamation points. And after the game, Chancellor Johnson showed LJ that tweet. And here was LJ's response to that tweet from Trey Young.
I mean, that's crazy because, you know, I grew up watching him. I used to watch all his mixtapes whenever he was in high school. I used to watch his workouts. I forgot the dude he worked out with name. It's a little light-skinned dude, a little like Tony Parker a little bit. But he used to be in the gym with Juwan Evans, those type of guys. So growing up with them being smaller guards, I always looked up to them. So, you know, that's pretty cool.
Pretty good. Pretty cool. Pretty cool when a guy that you really look up to. I mean, they're smaller. They're both smaller guys, so I can imagine that Trey Young was a guy that he wanted to emulate because, well, Trey Young's a pretty good player. So, but LJ filling it up. The Cougs looking great. The Cougs are a national team, and it was great to have them in the national spotlight. 23-4, 15-1 now. They play tonight against Texas Tech. A revenge game. Tech came in here, the only loss that the Cougs have in conference this year, at home against Tech. Man, maybe I shouldn't go to the games. I went to that game, and I've been to a couple, though. But it's not like I'm just a jinx in the one game I go to. I've been to a couple. So they got to take care of business tonight against Tech. This is interesting to see whether or not they're going to get a one or a two because you've got some losses. In there, Alabama had to play Auburn, and they're a loser. I mean, the SEC has how about Texas A&M is the sixth seed against number nine. They played the other day, and number nine beat them. It is like five of the top eight or nine teams are from the SEC, or six of the top nine are from the SEC in the rankings. I mean, they're just killing it in the SEC. And you know what? They got to kill each other. You know, Dell, I don't know if you heard, but the SEC started great, but they are 500 ever since they started conference play. So it's not as good as it used to be.
Yeah,
it's just,
I mean,
not as good.
Think about what happened this weekend. All those teams played each other and were 500
lost
over the weekend. So
500
it's been
over
rough
those
in
games.
The SEC.
I know. Auburn, Florida, Duke, Alabama, okay, three of the top four. Then Tennessee is six, A&M is seven. Okay, they got five of the top seven teams. Five of the top seven teams are in the SEC. That's crazy. Only Duke and Houston. And then Iowa State, Texas Tech.
I mean,
so on and so forth.
It just means more.
It does mean more.
I mean, that's always what they said,
more.
And it just means more in every sport. Of course, they better be good in basketball because they weren't good in football this year.
No, they weren't great in football, that's for sure.
They were disappointed
in situation? Now, why are you only down to one car when you got three cars in your family?
Well, I think you know what happened with Mason.
I know what happened.
We
Mason
got $4,500 waiting to get paid out of pocket for that one. And then my wife has some work that has to be done on her car, so while I'm out of town at the combine, she's going to be driving my car. So, so we're down to one. Let me tell you what, it is a treat being down to one car.
Yeah, well, the kids taking the bus is great. That's great.
Well, not today. Today, Mom. Oh. Well, actually, Sebastian went to jiu-jitsu at 6 a.m. You know, that's the thing. Oh, go to jiu-jitsu in the morning at 6? He can get up, no problem. Bright and shining faces, no problem. Let him try to get up at all to go to school or do something that he has to do that we want him to do. Can't get him out of bed.
That's all kids do.
Can't get him out of bed. But jiu-jitsu class at 6 at West Chase, no problem. And Mason even got up and said, yeah, I'm going with you. because I'm not taking a bus. So, because their friend Jack is who he went to go work, who picked him up. They're going to go straight to school. So Mason's like, yeah, I'll just go straight to school from there. So,
yeah.
They don't want that bus life.
Oh, that see, that's you, now they're motivated. Now they're okay. They're good. Okay.
Well,
the Rockets record.
Well, they're not going to jiu-jitsu every day, so that's a problem.
Yeah, right. The Rockets record this year, we'll talk about this on the other side. The Rockets record on 0 days rest, 5-8.
It's really good.
The Rockets on 2 or more days rest, 13-2.
Whew.
So,
wow.
There's a big difference. Big difference in what's going on there. And there's a big difference in Chastain Ford. When you are buying a Ford car or truck, I don't know. If you go to another dealership, that's fine. If you're near downtown, Chastain Ford is really, really close. Depending on where you are downtown, obviously, just 5 to 10 minutes. That's it. Depending on traffic as well, obviously. But it's right at, you know, where 59 hits 610. It's two exits down. Homestead, not Hempstead. Just five. I mean, it's literally 5 to 10 minutes from downtown. So you got to buy a Ford car or truck, and you want one. Would be it for your business or your personal use. You want one. What do you want in that vehicle? You want to get the best deal that you can get. You want to get it how you want it, right? You want to customize perfect for you, not what they want, what you want. Okay, that's what you want. You want the best financing that you can get. I've done that. I've seen it personally where Ford had one rate and then bank had another, and they said, we're going with the bank. And I'm like, wow. You're just telling Ford, you know, forget you. And they're like, yep, we're just telling Ford, forget you, because we're going to get you the best rate we can. So that's the way they go about it at Chastain Ford. They're not going to mark up. They're not going to add on. And so you want the best deal you can possibly get. You want all the rebates that Ford is sending. Not holding them back, they want you to get those rebates. They want to pass it along to you. This is what happens every single day. At ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. You're looking for a Ford car or truck, there's one place to go, Chastain Ford. Watch this. Oh.
He's all excited. He learned how to do a background.
My background. Oh, now I got my new computer out. Yeah. Got my background.
Oh, you see me?
Going.
I just disappeared.
Why'd you do that? How'd you do
it? I'm back.
You just turned your camera off?
I just pushed. We probably shouldn't just be messing with this, probably. Right, Dale?
All right.
Because now I've switched. Now I've changed the order in which we show up on the screen.
That's all right. Who cares? I got my new camera. So you know how this would have saved? So for those of you who don't know, you're in your car. I put my background on, and then it's just a blue background, and you can't see anything behind me. So how many? Oh, but if somebody walks by, you'll see them, right? Is that right?
No, not. I don't know, actually.
I don't know. We'll have to. This would have saved. Remember during COVID, how many guys were they were doing? Their work over their laptops.
Yeah.
You can see them, and like a woman is walking behind them in the background, and you know, naked and whatever.
Well, I didn't see that, but
I remember there was a bunch of people. Or well, never mind. Some other stuff going on while he's doing it.
Really?
If you had this thing, then it saves you. Saves your marriage, saves everything, saves your job, everything, right? Oh, my gosh. But now, if you're in a crappy place, like your hotel room when you go, Lance, are you going tomorrow, right, or today?
I'm going today. I'm going to the last segment of the show. I got to get on a plane. Actually, the Texans are all on it, too, from what I heard.
Oh, my
God. So I'm hoping I'm getting to sit next to Nick Cayley, but I'm not in first class, so probably not.
You're not sitting next to – you got to sit next to Nick Cayley.
I'm not in first class. He's going to be first class. So if I did, I'd say, hey, listen, I sat next to your predecessor on the trip here. Look, let me tell you some pitfalls of what you need to avoid.
No, you say, listen, I got – you know why? You know why CJ was rookie of the year? Guess why? Because of you and how you helped him out on that plane flight. Did you see him after that?
Well, I was on the plane after the season was over. It was before last year.
Oh, that was last year?
Remember, it was last combine.
Oh, I thought it was 2 years ago.
No, it was last combine.
Oh, maybe you were the
reason. Bobby was riding high. Everything was good.
Oh, then you were the reason they sucked this year. Nick
Cayley, I don't know that it was me. I mean,
well, per se.
Maybe had he answered some of my questions a little more thoroughly, everything would have been fine.
They were really good before you sat next to him, and they were really bad after you sat next to him. So, I wonder what the common denominator was there. Anyway, the Rockets were really good on Friday night, and they were really bad. Not really bad, but they weren't good.
How about Jabari? Can we talk about Jabari Ball just on Friday?
How about that?
So we can avoid Saturday because that wasn't good. But
no,
Friday,
Saturday
he got 39 minutes. He led the team in minutes. He didn't start, yet he led the team in minutes on Friday and had a good game.
Well, Ime said before the game, he said it was his hand. He was working out. He's in great shape. He's in great shape. So there's no reason why I'm going to give him any restricted minutes. Now, we didn't know he was going to play the most minutes, but he looked great, too. He came up with big baskets. He didn't look as good on Saturday, that's for sure. Not nearly as good, just 1 for 8. But, boy, he was back in the starting lineup. Of course, he's back in the starting lineup without Fred VanVleet. That's the reason he's back in the starting lineup. But he was up and down this weekend, and that hurt him. 1 for 8. He was -10 in 29 minutes on the court. 1 for 5 for 3. He really didn't do anything. He had 2 rebounds and an assist in 29 minutes. He basically he was nothing on Saturday. So, you know, getting him back was nice. They didn't give up. I thought they were going to be better defensively when Jabari got back. He gave up 124 to another big fourth quarter for a team, 37-point fourth quarter that the Rockets were in the game the whole time right up until the very end, right up until the fourth quarter. Yet another fourth quarter collapse for this team. So, it was an okay weekend. And again, I don't know what we're expecting with all of these back-to-backs for these teams when we see that you're just not as good. It's just a lot harder. But Ime was pretty funny. Ime wasn't too pleased with the team. as you can expect, 124 points given up. But there was a reporter asked after the game, a reporter, and this was the very last question. This reporter asked about coaching the Rockets, who are as young and talented as they are. And here is Ime's reaction.
Coach, the Rockets have a young and talented team. What has been the biggest challenge in developing these players, and what aspects do you think will take them to the next level?
Consistent competitiveness and Taking a jump in the IQ department.
He's not here for your little platitudes.
No.
He's not here.
No. Not in a 124-115
He's
loss.
Not here to pat guys on the back after getting beat by Utah. That's not what he's here for.
Taking a jump in the IQ department.
They're not the basketball smartest team. They play really hard. They're not the smartest team out there. They do dumb stuff in the fourth quarter. They lose their man in the fourth quarter when it comes to rotation sometimes. Like, there's some basketball stuff that it gets covered up. You don't think about it just because the results have been good, and they also have a tendency to make more hustle plays. So you don't think about the dumb stuff doesn't lead to them having a bunch of losses like it has in the past.
They were hustled better earlier in the year, and I don't know what has gone on there. And Ime talked about it, I think, last week or the week before. Right before the break, we were more active. We had more energy. All of those things, maybe. As they head down the stretch and they're trying to, get positioning for the postseason, and maybe in the postseason they'll get that back, that dog back. But I don't see it right. I just don't. I think that they compared favorably, not as good as the Cougs, not as aggressive as the Cougs. They were Coug-like, though, in that they were, the energy that they brought night in, night out, how they went after balls, how aggressively they played. They're not that same team right now.
Right.
They're just not. They're not as aggressive as they were earlier in the year. And in, especially in these fourth quarters where they just are, I mean, there's that some of these fourth quarters and these losses have been just horrendous. It's just been horrendous.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Last night was another, or Saturday night was another one.
Well, the only way you lose, the only way you have horrendous losses is through dumb stuff like turnover, you know, bad passes, turnovers, allowing, you know, not finding your man in transition defense, letting there be transition threes. I mean, the only way you blow big leads in the fourth quarter is by doing dumb stuff. It's almost the only way because the other team has to have, typically they're going to have more, possessions. Several more possessions, and that either means offensive rebounds, or you're doing something stupid with the basketball. And you know it's been stupid with the basketball more times than not. But yeah, the IQ thing, like sometimes it can just be who's on the court, and there's also times that's not really correctable, too. You hope for it to get better as you get older, but also sometimes you just fundamentally have guys who don't take care of the football. Like if it were that simple. Eli Manning and Jameis Winston and Brett Favre would have cut back on interceptions. If you're an interception guy in the NFL, you're an interception guy. If you're a turnover guy in the NBA, you typically stay a turnover guy. So that's something to keep an eye on for the Rockets is the high turnover count for certain players in certain times. That's not always the most correctable thing because sometimes you just don't have very good spatial awareness, and that's just something that's ingrained in you or not. You either have it or you don't have it. It's not something that changes.
So the Rockets are closer to the 2 seed than they are the 6 seed. They're tied for 4th right now. They're actually the 5 seed right now. They're 11.5 out. The Lakers are 11.5 out. Memphis is 9.5 out. So is Denver. So they're only 2 games. Now they are 3.5 games ahead of the Clippers, who are the 6th seed. So the Rockets are actually, I mean, boy, 2nd place in the West is 9.5 games behind Oklahoma City. That's how good Oklahoma City is. And then on the other side, and actually Cleveland has a better record than Oklahoma City. They're 47-10. Oklahoma City's 46-10. The Celtics are 6 back behind Cleveland. The Knicks are in 3rd place. The Knicks are terrible, though. The Knicks over the weekend were just awful. They're 10 back. They're 10 behind. It's basically Oklahoma City and Cleveland this year. Those are the 2 teams. And the Rockets are, you know, the Rockets are playing, played really nice basketball, but they're fading. They went from the 2nd seed to the 5th seed over these last 3 weeks. And hopefully, you know, with some rest after the All-Star break, and now when they're not going to be playing all back-to-backs, hopefully the Rockets are going to be getting back, and they can easily move back up to 2. But right now, they're the 5 seed. Right now, they're the 5 seed. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're more than welcome to get in. Right now, it's Doc Linville. Doc Linville is what we're talking about. Doc Linville can help. It's not only your hair, okay? He can help with your abs. He can help with your, I mean, he's got a machine. And it's
did you
pretty
say
cool.
Help with your abs?
Your abs, yeah.
Dr. Linville's doing ab work?
Ab work. He absolutely is. While you're sitting in the chair, when you're getting your, there is a machine that is going to, I mean, really, really pressurize your stomach area. And it definitely strengthens your core, and so this is something that you can do. You can do with or without the hair process. If you just want to work on your abs and not have to go to the gym and do all these sit-ups and all this other stuff, you go to see Doc Linville. He'll do that for you. Okay. You want to work on your eyes? He can do that as well. Okay. If you've got droopy eyes or you've got bags on your eyes, whatever it is, Doc Linville's here for you for that too. He's the hair guy for us. He does augmentation for women, but he's the hair guy for the most part for us, but he can do the other thing for you as well, guys. But here's the deal, is if you're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, man, and you're losing your hair, do it. Do it now before you lose it all, okay? If your hairline is receding, now's the time to call. Not when it's too late. This is the time when he can stimulate the growth or he can actually fill it in a lot easier than when it's all gone, okay? That doesn't make sense. Do it, do it, do it now. Go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance was on NFL Network this weekend talking about freaky players. Who does the freaky players? Who does the list of freaks in the NFL?
Oh, Bruce Feldman.
Bruce Feldman,
It's phenomenal. He puts it out in the summer. Yeah, either late summer or early fall. And he goes over 100 players deep. And then you look at it at the end of the year after the season's over, like, oh, crap, I wish I would have read this list because he already told me about this player, this player, this player. And he calls all the strength coaches around the country, and, you know, they'll tell him, okay, this is the guy I have, this is what he can do. And Bruce has done this long enough that he knows what is, like, freaky. And, yeah, some of these guys, I already know how they're going to test because they've, you know, the strength coaches, provided they're not embellishing, they tell Bruce Feldman, and his list is, like I said, it's like 110 players deep.
Oh, really? So you did five of them.
Well, I did five, but, you know, a lot of the information I grabbed on the freaky guys, I know because of reading Bruce, like they were in Bruce Feldman's freak list, so I already know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Plus I wrote them up and watched them.
Yeah, you watched the South Carolina safety. He's 6'3"?
Yeah, he's 6'3", 227. He's going to run like a 4.39. He's going to vertical jump about 40 inches. Like, he's going to be – he's bigger and more explosive than Kyle Hamilton. But he's just not as tough. Like, Kyle Hamilton's a killer. This guy doesn't really – he's not like a killer as a hitter, but he's really good. I mean, he can get you down. That's not going to be a problem, but he can cover tight ends. He can – he's got great ball skills. He's fast. He can do everything you want him to. He just sometimes the motor doesn't turn on. Sometimes he's like he just doesn't seem as motivated. But he'll go in the first because guys who look like that don't really grow on trees ever.
Emanwori,
Nick Emanwori.
Watch
him. He'll be somebody now. Now are you asking about this because of the Texans?
I mean,
I tell you what, he would be an interesting – now, he's got traits for day. He's got elite traits. I don't know if he's wired the way – I've been told that the Texans want everyone to be wired like dogs. They want they want Will Anderson to give you the stamp of approval. And this guy comes from the SEC.
Maybe Will Anderson rubs off on you, though.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, yeah. You know, if you're
Everybody can be a dog like Will Anderson.
No, not exactly like that, but you want guys who, you know, who he wants to be in a foxhole with. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why there's certain guys that you know are those guys. This guy can be a really impactful player. He could be. You just want him to turn it on. You know, and I had a coach at South Carolina tell me that. He's like, you know, and he was just soft pedaling. He said, oh, man, when he wants to play, you know, when he gets it going, he said those two, and then I think the last one was, you know, if he can get it charged up, because sometimes he needs to be motivated. Like three different times he said that. I was like, okay, this is a thing if he mentions this many times.
Yeah, you know that. And then Kenneth Grant.
Now that's another one who the Texans 100% would consider a defensive tackle there at 25. He's the Michigan tackle, defense tackle, who one Michigan coach told me has a higher upside than Mason Graham, who's going to get drafted way earlier. Because he's going to run about a 4.9 40, which, you know, who cares? But that just tells you at 340 pounds. But he is – so they do this explosive testing, John, at Michigan. It's a 26-inch – they're 26-inch stairs – so 26 inches high, so that's over 2 feet high, and there's seven of them. Boom, boom, boom. And it goes up like – they're like giant stairs. They go all the way up to the second floor of the workout facility. And Ben Herbert, who's the strength coach at the Chargers now, who's at Michigan, had them do this. So he has them off 2 feet. You just jump straight up, and you jump from box to box. You know, you jump from step to step to step to step all the way up. He can get – done with that in less than 4 seconds. That doesn't not seem possible that you can do that, but he can get up those steps. He can get up those steps in less than 4 seconds.
How many steps?
There's seven of them.
And he's got to jump.
He's got to jump off 2 feet. You jump, land, jump, land, jump, land, you know, consecutively. Boom, 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 boom.
4 seconds for seven?
Yeah, and that's and Herbie told me that's like that's what guys shoot for is you want to go shoot for that or somewhere in the low threes. And I'm like, what? How's that possible to do it? He goes, it's like you're, he goes, you're just jumping. He goes, imagine you're jumping. He goes, Lance, imagine you're jumping forward. You're not jumping upwards. These guys are strong enough that it's just like they're jumping forward consecutively, not that they're jumping up. That's how you get, that's how you test explosiveness in your, you know, in your hips is what it means for you to just jump forward, whatever you can jump 3 feet. And I'm like, hey, come on now. I probably can go further than 3 feet now. But he said, you know how you're just jumping like a bunny hop? He goes, they can do the same thing when you're explosive in the hips, but you can go up a stair. You can go up 26-inch stairs, seven of them, consecutively. And I'm like, well, I'll have to just see that to believe it.
Hmm. That is
so
wild.
He's a freaky, freaky strong. But his coach told me he just doesn't know how strong and he doesn't know that he's – like, he tries to be finesse and do these moves. And he said, once his coach realizes, wait, I can just whip this guy's ass, he goes, he said, it's going to happen. And when it does, it's going to be a real problem for people across from him.
All right. I take either of those guys at 25. Who else?
Yeah. Other freaky guys. There was a running back from Virginia Tech, Bashaul Tutin. I don't think he's second or third round pick. I don't think
South Carolina's running back is a freak, too.
Rocket Sanders, or which they've got. South Carolina's got like South Carolina's got a billion guys at the combine. They are low. Them and Ole Miss are. South Carolina and Ole Miss have more guys at the combine than LSU does. Like by a lot. I think they got more than Georgia does. Those two teams have the most in the SEC this year. A ton of guys. All four defensive linemen for Ole Miss are in the combine. South Carolina's got their safety, two defensive tackles. They've got their starting linebacker. They've got like a tight end, a running back, offensive. Like they've got a ton of guys at South Carolina. Shane Beamer has recruited the crap out of that place.
Well, Colorado's got guys there too, but one of them isn't going to work out. Shedeur Sanders says, I'm not working out.
Yeah, he's not throwing. And you know what? I mean, honestly, I'd like to see him throw and compete, but he's going to have four. He's going to have, like, most of his wide receivers are at the combine. So he's going to have all of his guys that he's used to throwing at are all going to be at his pro day. Like, it kind of makes sense. If you don't have to do it, like, you can say from a – I'd like to see it. I'd love to see him compete. I do think you get behind the eight ball a little bit because if Cam Ward throws and Cam Ward does well, then that's all anyone's going to be talking about. And more people are going to see that. Now, that's the general public. All the teams are going to see all these. But the general public likes to see – I mean, the teams like to see you in comparison to everyone else. So if Shadur's there by himself with everything his way, they don't – you typically don't – they don't love it as much. But if he looks good, that's the main thing. There's only two guys – I talked to another team who said only two guys going to first. There's not going to be – you know, there's not going to be another quarterback in the first round other than Shadur and Trav Cam Ward, but there is a thought that you thought that Malik Willis had a chance to go sometime in the first, Malik and Kenny Pickett, and then Malik fell to the third. I did talk to somebody who's not with the team, but who's been around the draft stuff for a while and is quarterback-centric, who told me he thinks that there's a chance that Shadur could slide all the way to the back end of the first or into the early second. I'm like, wow, that would surprise a lot of people if that happened.
Wow. Wow. That would be, well, I don't, yeah, that is crazy. Of course, who?
Do you believe that?
Do you believe that?
Yeah, but who is going to, you know, who wants Deion? I mean, especially if Deion said, you don't draft my son.
Anybody who drafts Shadur is drafting Deion.
You're drafting
Deion. So if Deion's not happy with what you're doing, it's going to be on a podcast.
And Deion is possibly your next head coach.
Well, whether you like it or not, he's coaching, he's kind of a coach of your team.
Well, that's true.
You don't think Deion would reach out and, you know, he'd be talking to the people Shadur is playing with? I mean, that's the concern, is that if you draft Deion, not only are you going to have Shadur on podcasts nonstop and things like that, just a lot of things that aren't football that are distractions. That's the big concern, is you're drafting a lot of potential distractions.
Well, if you've got crappy siding, then you should have some concerns too.
Yeah, and Allstate Windows and Siding can fix that for you. They're not at the Combine. They're not going to have a booth at the NFL Combine, but maybe they should, because everyone needs siding work or window work. And I'm going to focus on siding since John ran me into it. I'll just tell you right now, when it comes to siding, siding is something that really upgrades the appearance of your home. That's going to have an impact potentially on your energy efficiency as well. But for the most part, it's about protecting the bones of your home. It's about having that hardy plank that looks great. It's you know, they put it on once. They take all that nasty vinyl siding or the wood off of your home that's dilapidated, or you've had to make repairs, you've had to repaint a couple of times, and boom, they put the hardy plank on. You're set to go. You're done. They've got different types of colors as well. You're not going to have to paint if you don't want to. If you want to change a color, I guess you can. I don't know why you would. And then you're set up. It's going to make your house look amazing, and it's going to look that way for the duration that you have your home. It's a one-time purchase, and you are through. And that one-time purchase is going to come with a $2,500 discount when you do a complete siding job. But you have to mention you heard about it from ESPN 97.5 and Lance Zierlein. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here with the, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here. Rockets split over the weekend. And the Cougs won a big one against Iowa State. They got Texas Tech tonight, so that's a huge, huge game. So what is this? I don't get it. They're back on Nolan Arenado, and I just don't understand how they're going about. I just don't get it. I don't get it. It is, to me, I mean, now what with Paredes? I thought Paredes was a – did you see the stat where Paredes watched more pitches per at-bat than any player, and Christian Walker was 11th
last year?
Yeah, and that, this is what Joe Espada
– I typically no, do.
Joe Espada was asked this year, at the start of training camp, he said, you know, what are you going to do? He said, we're going to have a different approach at the plate. We didn't work guys hard enough. We did not work pitchers hard enough. And he said that they're having a different approach, and that's going to be the approach. Take more pitches, use up more arms, see better pitches, and you know what? Those are two. And look at who they go after. The guy who led the league last year, and then a guy who was 11th in the league last year. So that's a concerted effort, obviously, for this team this offseason. But Nolan Arenado, what are you giving up? And you're going to exceed the competitive balance threshold, and giving up a draft pick that's just giving up another draft pick for him. You're moving down a couple of slots in the draft from second to fourth. I mean, I don't know.
Where does Paredes play? So they're going to get cash, though. So they'll get cash in this deal. Like, they're going to send him $15 to $20 million. That's what they're willing to do in December. So it's going to be like, if the Astros take him on, they're going to owe about $45 million over 3 years. Is what it's going to go down to, because they're going to get cash in consideration for that. So they'll get a. They'll get a rebate on it, basically, a credit on their account, so to speak, like I get with my phones. They'll get a credit on their account with money coming over from Colorado who will pay that down. Now, I don't know what they have to give up for it, but obviously this Jose Altuve to left field has been part of a grander plan. This is not something Arenado didn't just say, you know what, let's talk about this again. This has been a thing the whole time, because now at least I know that Altuve to left field, how it made no sense. Well, now at least I know, okay, this is why they're pushing forward, because this has always been their plan, to move Paredes to second base potentially. Arenado gets to man third. I think it's going to happen. This move Jose Altuve to second base, to left field, that they're so intent on doing, didn't make any sense to us, but now it does. It makes sense because they're doing this. This is going to get done. And Jim Crane doesn't want to, you know, Jim Crane wants to field a competitive team. And you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place because I'm not sure if you're, you know, I'm not sure that these are the, if these are a bunch of Carlos Lee type moves. Now, Lee was actually, you spent too much money for him back in the day, but he was productive but didn't really have an impact on winning like you wanted him to. But Jim Crane is trying to, he wants to do things that keep this team competitive. And your team looks a lot different, but if it's Arenado at third and Paredes at second and Walker at first to go with, you know, Yordan and Altuve and granted slappy outfielders and then Jeremy Pena, your catcher.
Yiner?
Yeah, Yiner Diaz. I mean, it is a, it's a competitive, it's a competitive lineup. It's not as good maybe as your, I don't know. Is it better than your 2022 lineup? No, I don't think so. Because you didn't replace Kyle Tucker's bat. I don't think it's better than the 2022 lineup. I don't know.
Maybe
it's,
listen.
No, okay, you're outfield. But it's deep, though. It's a deep lineup.
There's a reason they want to get rid of Arenado, though. Are you sure this right. isn't another? I know it's a lot cheaper, but are you sure it's not another Abreu deal?
Maybe. I mean, the Astros are getting a lot older. It feels like they're reaching right now, to be honest. It feels like they're – I give Jim Crane credit. We can't say, hey, do you know, you want him to do something, then when he does something, what are you doing? You know, it's, it can't be both ways. Like, I think the run is probably over. I think anything you're doing right now, based on who you have, I just think anything you're doing right now is you're potentially pushing up your competitiveness. But at what cost? As you're mentioning, at what cost? You don't have a very good – you don't have a lot of stars in the minor league system, although Cam Smith, we're hoping, is going to be – you know, I mean, he's got potential, certainly. He's your top prospect now in the system. And you got him for Kyle Tucker. So, you know, we'll see. But you're not loaded with minor league prospects. Nobody thinks the Astros minor league system is very good. I mean, nobody. Baseball America, Keith Law, everyone who does this stuff – they don't, the whatever pipeline, nobody, MLB pipeline, nobody has the Astros rated high. They have them rated low. They have them rated really low. So I don't know what else you're going to give up for Arenado. This has got to be just taken on salary, basically. It can't be about giving away prospects.
Yeah, and it's got to be, yeah, another thing is Paredes got to move to second base. Okay. All right.
He's played, but he's played multiple positions.
What if he says, what if he says, I play third?
Oh, if he says I play third,
yeah,
no, yeah. I mean, I didn't think about that. That's we've seen it happen already this offseason where somebody plays third. So
yeah,
I don't know. We'll have to see on that one. But if he says I play third, then I guess Arenado better post up at second base.
Yeah,
does Arenado play at second base?
Well, who's been on this team longer? Who do the fans love more?
Oh, they'd well, obviously love the fan favorite's going to be. Paredes, because he's been a longer time Astro.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say long time, but longer time,
longer
yes.
time Astro, yeah.
I play third.
Let's see. He only, let's see, DH. No, he only plays third.
Yeah.
He only
That's
plays.
What he plays. I play
so
third.
Arenado only plays third.
That's it. Oh, no, Arenado is not moving. Arenado is one of the best. I mean, look at the gold gloves that dude has. I mean,
yeah, but can you imagine how many more gold gloves if you went to second or even left field?
I play
maybe
third.
They're getting him to be a gold glove left fielder.
Well, or if Bacon move in the center, it may put the hill back in there.
Hey, gold glove is a gold glove, friend.
Yeah. No. I play third. And
I play third.
I play third.
So I mean, second. You guys have completely removed the H from this. I mean, he did say third.
Let's hear it.
You guys have turned it into I play
do
third.
You have it?
I play third.
Third.
I play third.
I play third. Not I play third.
Third.
Yeah, but you guys are turning into third.
The H is in there. Third. 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 It's hard. Oh. It's in there,
I
though.
I play third.
What happened to what did we learn this weekend?
You're the host. You asked, why are you asking me?
Oh, my God.
What did
how
you do?
Is the, what
did
how
you
is
do?
That gone?
What did you do?
Well, it's
what
on now.
What did you do?
Okay.
What did
it's
you
on now.
Do, Dell?
713-780-3776. 3776. Let's go. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? This is for the 8 o'clock people.
For Arenado,
okay, because they never get a chance.
Yeah.
We're doing it for the 8 o'clock people today. 713-780-3776. You have one sentence to tell us, what did you learn this weekend? 713-780-3776. For you 8 o'clock people, let's go. That's up next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.